Chapter 28. A musical lap. I try again. I start at the beginning. I did not realize that a memoir was required. I'm making it up as I go along, really, I am. Is that not right? I didn't realize that I was to do that remembering thing, to cast back and trawl in the wake, throw out a net for debris, take samples for analysis in the lab, etch out spent scenarios, sniff at shells and other things that used to be lived in, sketch portraits of major and minor players, changing keys and giving it all an importance it may not have ever had. I didn't realize that. Let me see. To start again, my first musical memory at the age of 2 or 3 months before being born, bouncing along Barnaby Street in Betty's belly. Betty was my mother. She was singing Bluebells and Butterflies, bellowing it out as she marched along, bag of groceries swinging in each hand. I can make out the song easily enough, over the rumble of her bodily functions, the thud of her feet, the chugging of her heart, the churning of her innards, the amniotic fluid gurgling in my lungs and other places. Ah, immersion in sound, to be born into a musical nest, to drop into a musical lap. What treasure is that? We had a dog named Rex and a neighbour who paced his yard playing the bagpipes each afternoon. Rex, on his haunches, put his snout on high and bellowed like a wolf at the moon, tears welling in his milky eyes. And I did the same to keep him company, out of empathy, picking my nose and pooing my nappy. Next musical memory. Rocking like a toy, putting my head inside gramophone speaker, classical music booming, solid and shining as a ship on some glittering and vast ocean, as great as the mountains, all of which I had yet to see. But who needs to see them after hearing that? I learned to remove the front panel from the piano and sometimes curl up in there as my mother thumps away at Little Brown Jug and something by Brahms. And then I was sitting in the music room having piano lessons of my own in a little wooden house perched on a hill beneath a splendid camphor laurel, and the floor pitching slightly from side to side depending on where you were standing, as if it were a boat. Sometimes even the piano moved, and we would have to scrape our stools this way and that to keep up with it, old Mr. Rubio and me. Everyone called him Snow. 94 years of age, the colour completely drained out of him, frail as a dead flower, as brittle as a stick inside his stiff and moth-eaten suits, his twisted ivory hands clattering on the keys next to mine. The new and the old. He had apparently evoked melancholy and mirth and the excitement of chase, accompanying movies before they had sound of their own. Drove a Renault 4CV, as tiny as a toy, hand-painted with a brush in pink, reeking of other times and rotting upholstery until he stopped coming.